Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 256 of the Sober Girls Guide podcast. Suzanne from My Kind of Sweet is back for a good old-fashioned sober girl chat. On this episode, we talk all about sober moms, why I love them, there is nothing hotter than a sober mom, and we talk about sober sisterhood. On this episode, you will learn why it is important to be around like-minded women and the power that holds, sober mom retreats, what happens, and why they are very necessary to living a fulfilling sober life, and how to be a sober girl in your 40s and live your absolute best life. This was such a fun episode. I mean, talking to Suzanne is always a good time, and I think you will see why. Let's get into it. Suzanne, yes, is all I have to say.
Yay! I'm back.
Yes, you are back, girl.
Yay. I feel God. I did not have a podcast when I came on here the last time. Did I?
I don't think I did. Oh, you were talking about starting one with your brother.
Okay, I had that one. We talked about okay, that one was fun. That one is no longer because our schedules, we just could not get it together. But yeah, I don't think I had sober mom life. Like, I don't think I had, that's bananas. And then you came on mine. And now I'm back on yours.
And now you're back on yours. And we met in real life.
And not on purpose. Around. No, not on purpose, which is wild. You guys, I turned around.
Yeah.
And there was a shining, first of all, your hair. I was like, who is this like shining angel that stands before me? And then, you know, like when you meet somebody that you only see online, it takes a second. Like, I'm like, okay, I know you. How do I know you? Wait a second. And then you put it together.
Yes.
And then we were like, holy shit.
Totally. Well, okay. Let me give you like my perspective of that whole evening.
Oh, good.
It was so good. Like, it was so funny. It was so hysterical.
Okay,
so me and May, who is a sober creative, and her wife, we were all sitting at the bar at Sands Bar in Austin, Texas, right?
Yes.
And also, we should mention that Sands Bar is only open like on Fridays. So this is
it
like,
really?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't
it's
even
only
know
that. Open one day. Like, so this is super, like, this is a tiny baby sliver of a window.
Yes. Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So we're sitting there, and I think it's like a panel discussion. Like, it's pretty quiet in there. You could almost hear a pin drop. Like, that's the vibes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's like this party bus pulls up outside of Sands Bar. And all these sober moms start piling into Sands Bar. Mind you, it's dead quiet.
Dead
you know,
quiet.
People are talking on the stage, on the panel.
Yeah, there's a panel.
Yes. And all of a sudden, like 20 something, how many of there were you? Like 22?
22. Yeah, 22.
22 sober moms pile into Sands Bar. And I'm just like, praise Lord Jesus.
You're like,
you answered my prayers. Who is doing this to me?
It was so funny too. Like walking in, we were like,
so good.
Oh, it might be closed. Like, because I had never been there. I didn't know. And it was so quiet. And then we walk in and we're like, oh my God, there's like a meeting. There's like speakers and there's like a panel. And then my mom, who is in our group, who came on the retreat, she's like, yeah, go up there and go sit. And I'm like, she was like a what? Stage mom to me. I'm like, what am I gonna do? And she's like, say something.
Grab a microphone. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's hilarious. That's not gonna happen. And someone said, like, I think you guys are in the wrong place. Like, and we're like, oh no, we're sober. And then everyone's like, oh yay.
Cause it kind of came off like you guys came in with like bachelorette vibe, yes, energy.
Yeah.
For totally. Sure.
Yes.
Like everyone dressed up, like super cute little dresses, boots, yes, like yes, ready, like y'all were like celebrating that night.
Yes. Yes.
And we're like, what in the, and then I'm like, wait, these are sober moms?
It's like, it reminds me in like, you know, like Dumb and Dumber when like the bus pulls up, like all of the women in like bikinis and stuff. And then the two guys, like, yes, it was totally, it was hilarious. And that was so totally good. Our vibe. Our vibe was that like we were on party buses and that like we were like partying it up, but on sober. The party bus. Yes, completely sober. And yeah, even like the ride back to the house, which was like a 45-minute drive, which we didn't know it was that far away. but we were like, I mean, oh my God, ludicrous, Lil Wayne, like just like dropping it. And the driver of the bus is like, well, obviously they're wasted. And we're like, no, really, like not a drop. Like, not a drop. You don't know.
No,
need
we're
it.
Sober. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My God. So many, like, non-alcoholic spicy margs were ordered that yes, evening. That was definitely the drink of choice.
Yes.
And you guys were just so cute and aww, so much fun. Like, oh, it was God, so fun. I think at one point I yelled out, like, I love hot moms.
Okay,
and
yes.
And everyone was like, yeah!
Hey, that's all you have to say. Like, yeah, just say that and then you'll get a cheer. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was really cool. I think that was probably one of the coolest experiences, is seeing like, no, yeah, you don't need alcohol. And people might assume you're drinking because you're still going to like dance crazy and act a fool. And you might walk into a panel where it's like completely silent. And then you are the one who's going to be so loud, and it's okay. Like, it was so much fun. And meeting yeah, you in real life, like, that was like the cherry on top. I was like,
that
oh,
was
shit.
So fun.
That was, it's just wild still, even though you did not yeah, come to our sound bath the next day because, you know, you were busy. We'll get into that.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we can get into that. I couldn't attend. I mean, thank you very much for extending the invitation.
Oh my God, standing.
It looks so fun. But listen, I got to be honest. Since I've landed in Austin, I've been a bit of a serial dater and I love it.
Good. Like, amen. Good. Like,
yeah.
Yes. Yes, please.
It's been fun. I've never been a dater at all.
Yeah.
And this, I feel like, is my time to shine. I'm meeting the coolest people.
That's
like,
incredible.
Every date is so much fun.
How are you meeting these people? Like, where are you meeting them?
That's online? A good question. Hinge and okay, Bumble are my oh, weapons of choice.
Oh my God. Okay, I got yeah, married before all of, like, any sort of online dating thing, which mm-hmm, is probably – I was on Match, like, it was, like, 2010, and I went on Match, oh, and I, like, it was so early, and I, like, posted, and I was so overwhelmed. I got messages, and then I just shut it down. I didn't go on, because I was, like, no, I don't know what I'm doing, and then I met my husband, but, yeah. So, the online yeah, dating thing is, like, very, it's foreign to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's different. I think you really have to know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because
just
I, also you can
just
feel like,
time,
well, yes, but also like I can feel and you can gauge like people's personalities to an extent. Like you can see the pink flags even yes, online. And they're exciting because you're like, oh, that's familiar.
Okay, wait, pink flags? Wait, tell me what a pink flag is. I don't even know what that is.
Just like, okay.
Is that good or bad?
No, it's like a, it's not great. It's like a, it's okay, like a beige on flag? The way to a red flag.
Okay, like a beige flag? What's a beige flag?
Well, oh, I don't know. A beige flag would be like neutral, no?
I don't know.
Like a green flag is maybe. Good.
Yes.
Yeah, like a green flag, yes, good. Love that.
Okay.
A beige flag is like, just neutral. Like,
okay.
Like no warning, but like not like, ooh, yay, exciting.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Could you and tell then, I'm 43? Like
no, and age has nothing to do with this.
Shut
like
up.
The woman I went on a date with today. Okay. I just something about you for some reason whenever you're in my orbit
okay.
I'm always on a date
no, you're or like going to a date dating. You're like rocking the date and they're like guys they're very good dates too I've gotten some feedback that yeah. they've been very good dates so I'll stay in your orbit and then I'll yeah. just like whatever
good luck.
Yeah I'll send
good,
it to you I'll
good
send
dating
it your
luck,
way
for sure. But yeah, I had a date right before this talk and
yeah.
she's 50 and she was so cool.
Oh, I love
the
that.
The coolest woman, amazing style. I mean, obviously she's a mom because that's like my genre.
Wait, is it your thing?
Yes.
Oh, so hot moms are really your thing, Jess.
No.
Oh my God. Are they really?
Yeah. Yeah. Not a word of a lie. I love
hot,
sober
hot
mom.
Moms. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, yeah. Okay, got it. Yes.
So when you guys showed up yeah. at Sam's Bar, I was like, who yes. is doing this?
You were like, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you to the man upstairs.
Wait, how old are you? Do you share how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 38.
Okay. Oh,
yeah,
that's
so
a
I'm not,
good.
I'm not young. Okay.
No, but you're young. Okay, I have this thing about 38. Ooh. I think.
Tell me.
That. I think like anytime I look back at like pictures of myself and I'm like, oh, I really like it. I'm like, I was 38. Anytime someone's ooh. Like peaking like physically, I'm like, how old are you? And they're like 38. Like PRs in like races because I'm a runner. Like my yeah. friend got a PR and I'm like, yeah, well, you're 38. Like 38, some,
really?
I don't know, like a thing.
Yeah.
But 38 tends to be for women, I don't know. I'm noticing that it's a very, it's like a peak experience. Not that it doesn't go downhill from there. Like I still am like,
yeah.
you know,
definitely not going downhill. Hello. Look at you and your group.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But 38, there's like something about 38, I feel like.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm turning 39 next month.
Okay.
So
okay,
maybe so I lost the 38.
Get it all in. Go on as many okay. days. You still have time. No, 39 okay. is going to be good too. No, 40s are actually like, I love my 40s
yeah.
so much more than my 30s. And I know like, I don't know if I heard that in my 30s, I was like, ugh, you have to say that because now you're 40. It's like, no, for real. Like 40s, yeah. I think being sober in your 40s is like, next level, like game changer, leveling up because you really don't care what people think, right?
Yeah.
Sobriety kind of leads you to that anyway. And then in your 40s, you really let go of that, like, at least I did, the people pleasing and the, I don't know, there's some sort of thing like getting back in touch with who I was before all the bullshit and all the, yeah, the people
all the
pleasing,
lifey stuff got
yes,
in.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All the lifey stuff. And so then I've just kind of like recommitted to like, oh, right. Like I don't care what people think. And that is the best.
In the best possible way.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the best.
I think, yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah. But I think you might already be there. I feel like you have that. Are you?
Okay. I don't know.
Do
I feel, like a little bit old right now. And maybe
wait, why? I
don't
almost
know.
Spit out my coffee.
I
like,
feel
Jessica, you're
like
not old.
No, I know I'm not old, but I feel tired. Like, and maybe this is just because of the move, you know?
Right, you are like in like a transition, right? And like,
yeah.
I think we can't discount how much that takes out of us. Even if it's like really good and positive and everything's looking up, it's still like a change.
Yeah.
And that big of a change and really kind of restarting your life somewhere completely new is like, that's really hard. And it takes a lot.
And exciting. It's exciting.
So exciting. But it's like, take naps. That's all.
Yeah, totally.
Take naps.
I mean, that's also like sobriety too, right? Like even if it's like a good change, like we have all these positive aspects that come with sobriety. Yeah. It's still tough. Like it's change is change.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's still hard. It's the good hard, right? It's still tough. Yeah. And I think that we can, I know, you know, if I get pushback on some things, which I do a lot,
Gives you pushback?
Oh my God. Like old white men on Instagram, which I mean, I swear to God. Yeah. Or I mean, some AA people, cause I've been outspoken against that and just for me, right? Not for everybody. If it works for you, that's great. And that's amazing, but it's not the only path. And just, I don't know. If they're saying like this idea that sobriety can be so kind of light and free, and I do glamorize sobriety on Instagram because I want to and because I think it's needed. So there can be this assumption that if sobriety doesn't feel like that all the time in real life, that you're doing it wrong. And I'm always quick to point out like, no, that's just life. Like, you're just feeling life and now you're feeling it, right? And you're, yes, you're feeling all the excitement and the joy and stuff, but like life still gets really fucking lifey. And like, you just got a nap like as much as you can.
Totally. Like, anything like pregnancy. Like, if you actually knew the real shit behind having a baby.
Yeah, no one would have it.
We wouldn't have babies.
No, that's the world would end. The world would end. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And like, I think that we've just been like, this idea of alcohol has been like pushed down our throats for so long. And that's just a lie. And so if it's sobriety or alcohol, what is more glamorous? I mean, obviously it's sobriety. And so if they can glamorize alcohol, like, I'm going to glamorize the hell out of sobriety.
Totally. Yeah. And I love that you do. I love that like you do it with such style.
Thanks.
Really.
I mean, thanks. That's like, and that's my background too. And then I'll get pushback on that too and be like, oh my God, what does sobriety have to do with your, you know? And I'm like, ugh, everything. I'm like, I mean,
it's all connected.
It's all connected.
All of this is connected. You know, I think it's irresponsible actually just to single out like sobriety. Sobriety affects all aspects of your life.
It's everything. And I think something that is very easily and often overlooked is that Instagram is marketing. And like before anything, like I am a marketer. Like that's kind of how my brain works. And so like if I'm going to tell you like sobriety is the way to go, I'm going to share like the pretty parts. And I'm going to show you that it's like, and it's not a lie. I'm not going to show you like the times when my kids won't sleep and I'm like at my wit's end. I mean, I'll tell you that too, but you probably already know that. Like, who wants to see that? Like, that's gross.
I mean, reality TV isn't even reality.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wait, do you watch Bravo?
Yeah. Well, okay.
If you like Hot Moms, I feel like.
Yes. I only started watching, this is so me, but whatever. Here we are.
Blushing? Beverly Hills because of Kyle?
Yes.
Oh my God, I knew it. Kyle and Morgan. I mean, okay.
Come on.
Oh, right? And that video? Okay. And I identify as straight. Even that video, I'm like, okay. I'm okay. Wow. Yes. I love this journey for her and sure I'll watch. Like, that's amazing.
Right? I mean, Morgan's smoking hot.
No, she is hot. Yeah.
She's hot.
I just wish Kyle would. I don't like how she's Like, no, we're not together. No, no, we're friends. Yes, I love her. I'm like, just like if you.
It's a half-ass answer. It's not a real answer.
It's not real. And no. Kyle, as someone who is always like, open and honest, be open and honest, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's so right. not being open and honest. Like, yeah. if you like Morgan, if you love Morgan, if you want to be with her, if you have been with her, whatever, great. Just own it. And then, yeah. Like, yeah, show
I
us.
I don't know. It's tough. Honestly, like, living in LA, and I can speak from experience, like,
yeah.
everyone is a little bit gay or has, you know,
yeah.
been down that road.
Yeah.
No one talks about it. Like, it's not that violent. Cool to be gay in LA.
Why is that? Wow. You would think that it
I don't know. I don't know.
And she is like old school Beverly Hills too, right? Like, she's a yeah. very. Yeah, totally. That's wild because you would think that like of anywhere, it would be.
It doesn't do good things for your career. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Still? Which is so unfortunate.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's really wild. Wait, have you ever listened to Watch What Crappens? Ben and Ronnie?
No.
Okay, oh my God.
What is that?
It's a Bravo, like, they're so funny. It's a Bravo podcast.
Okay.
And they break down, like, every episode, and they, like, it's so good. It's so good. You should just listen to, like, the reunion. They imitate them and they kind of reenact it, but then with their it's so fucking funny. I want to see them live too. They're so funny. So I don't know, that's off topic, but you have to
look. Okay. Yes. I definitely check that out.
Yeah, if you love Bravo. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this season was so good, and I actually really love how they showed how people were challenging Kyle's sobriety. Nice.
That was it's like
it shows you how dumb you look
so
questioning
dumb.
People's sobriety.
And saying when Dorit said to Kyle, she was like, isn't this just isn't sustainable though. And I'm like,
what?
Hold on. Like, this is bananas.
Yeah.
Like, you're saying that not drinking a toxic, highly addictive substance and taking care of your body and working out, that's what's not sustainable?
No.
Like, it's so She's fucking whack. Backwards.
Yeah.
So, and then even at the reunion when they're talking like, well, do I think you have a drinking problem? No, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I like the word drinking problem, like that phrase is like nails on a chalkboard to me because it's just, we're giving alcohol just such a free pass to be like, mm-hmm. and the onus is only on the person. And it's like, we would just never say that about any other substance. We would never say, like, do you have a cocaine problem? No, I used it very responsibly. Like, I'm fine. I'm not addicted. Or like, do you have a meth problem? Like, no. Like, I carry meth in my purse. Like, it's very clear that those substances are the problem, right? And we don't put the responsibility on the person to just do this like very complicated dance to make sure that we drink like this, but not like that, and like don't get addicted, and like oh, I hate it.
It's on you if you can't handle your alcohol.
Yeah, it's on you. And
what?
And that's an issue.
No, I'm so stoked. I love that Kyle is like open and honest and ordering mocktails and doing the thing, like doing the damn thing, working out. I like how they show how she works out.
Yes. And she looks better than ever. Yeah. Like when they show flashbacks of like, even like, I mean, 10 years ago, granted she got some face stuff, but just like overall, like
who doesn't get a little something.
I mean,
little Botox, little filler. Hello.
I've gotten Botox. You guys, I've gotten Botox. I've gotten an eye lift. I've gotten a tummy tuck, for God's sakes. Like, ooh. I've got, oh yeah, three babies. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. We had to tuck that up, fix those muscles. But yeah, she's like glowing. She's glowing. And like, obviously now, like the best part about sobriety, I think, is like, first of all, you know how you feel. And then you know what you need. And you can see her doing that. Like, you can see her doing that to Mauricio. Like, it's just. Oh.
No, so much contempt. Like,
so much.
So brutal, that relationship.
When he kissed her, like, and then, oh my God, my skin crawled. Cause you could tell like he was like trying to go for it or something. And she like pulled away and she's like, don't kiss me like that. And then he goes, I can kiss you however I want to. I was like, oh, so bad.
Yeah.
And like, you can just see her like get coming back home to herself and be like, oh yeah, no.
This is not working.
This is not. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that? I mean, I definitely find that like with women in our community, that happens a lot.
Yes.
Happens a lot, especially when, you know, you don't have that connection or you don't have that means of connection with your partner anymore.
Yeah, it does. And I think that honestly can be one of the reasons that women keep drinking.
Yeah.
Is because what will happen? What will happen if I stop and I'm kind of faced with where my partner is letting me down or where he's not supportive or she's not supportive or like what will happen? And it feels like it's too hard to face. It's not, right? But it can feel really scary. We talk about that a lot, like in our meetings and stuff, and when like partners are still drinking and how to handle it. My husband still drinks and I'm always just focused on me. Like when I decided to stop drinking, he kind of wasn't even in my mind.
Okay.
And I didn't factor him into it. And I was almost too busy focused on me and like kind of figuring out the truth about alcohol, how I had used it. I was like fucking obsessed and I was like on a mission. I was like a mad woman. And I didn't have time to like worry about him, which is kind of really great to just be really selfish and like, no, you're on your own journey over there, but I got to figure this out.
Right.
And then slowly, like he started, you know, to drinking less. And like, I started sharing these things that I'm learning and he started seeing my life and he's like, okay, wait, like
that looks real good.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
You might be onto something. Like, yes. And he even said like yesterday, he was like, I think if you hadn't gone down this path, I wouldn't know that alcohol is as harmful as it is. I wouldn't know all of these things about alcohol and I would still be drinking the way that I was, which is still not a lot, but he was a partier just like I was in, you know, in our old lives. And he's like, and now I just can't. Like you just, once you know, like you can't, you can't unknow all the stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so now he's like indoctrinated. And I'm like,
how did it affect your relationship at the beginning though? Like taking that time for yourself and being, like you said, selfish.
Yeah. I think, see, it's so hard to like go back and remember because I stopped in January 2020. And and I had a 5-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 3-month-old baby. And then a month later the pandemic started. And so it was like I look back and I'm like, oh, holy shit. I just see me like I really was like cocooning myself from everybody. I had one AirPod in like all the time listening to podcasts like yours and like Quitlet. Like I was like obsessed. And so then when he came home, then I would just like collapse into his arms. Like it was like survival mode for us.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't. It's almost like, and it might be like that in early sobriety for people, even if you're not in a pandemic, that you're just like, okay, let me just literally, I do have to say, yes, I will get to this. Like, I will get to our relationship. Like that.
Yeah.
That's high on the list. But right now I got to figure this out. Yeah. And I think that's what it did. And then I just had to then slowly like, be like, okay, how are we going to connect when we're not going to have wine? And like, having sex without alcohol and like, you know, and I'm like, oh, I've been married to this person. I have 3 babies with this person, but probably most of the time that we've connected, we've had drinks, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then it was just like a slow, like a lot of grace to myself and like getting used to it. And now there's yeah. no way I would go back because now I can feel everything and that's amazing. But yeah, I think it's just a slow, it's just slow.
Yeah.
And I think we want it to be fast, which I get. And we want to know what happens.
Yeah.
And it's just slow.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, I find, especially with like dating and like getting to know someone, alcohol really like was speeding up maybe a connection that wasn't there.
Oh, yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Like your relationship skipping, like you're skipping ahead.
Totally. And you're like missing things probably, right? Like that, even like little cues that you pick up on when you're fully aware and like being like, oh my God, like I didn't know you did that, right?
Right. Like, yes.
Like I slept with many men I would not have slept with had alcohol not been in the picture. Okay. And if you're listening to this and you're wondering, is she talking about me? Yeah, I'm talking about you.
They're not listening to that. 100%, it's you. If you think it's you.
Yeah. If you think it's you, it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Which then goes into the consent thing and how fucked up that is. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely a little bit lax on there on the whole consent front.
Wait, how does that work with two women though? It's a weird question.
No, that's a really good question. I don't find that I haven't had any like experiences like that with women. I think back when I was dating men.
Yes.
I felt so guilty not like having sex or not making out with them or not doing something with them because like
you owed it to them? It was just them? Oh God, yes.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's my fault for like flirting. And I'm a very flirty person.
Yes.
I love to flirt.
Yeah.
It's like flirting's my second language. Fun.
Yeah. Flirting, you're good at it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I felt when I was like with men that it was my fault. It was my fault for being in that flirty kind of mode anyways. Yes. And like, don't be a tease. And you owe it to them. Basically.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I've for sure felt like that. Or like, well, yeah, like your top is so low cut. Like I used to have fake boobs too that were like so big, like too big. And they called me. Oh my God. I'll send you a picture. It was, I got them in Atlanta. So I got them in like, I was 30 maybe. No. I wasn't even 30. I was like 26. Okay. And, the doctor was retiring, the plastic surgeon. And so he just went up on his own because he said that 95% of people come back and I wouldn't be able to come back because he was retiring. So he was like, you're welcome. And I was like, holy shit, can you like,
is so we just supersized it right there.
Yeah. And so then. He went up and I think what I had chosen was already too big, but I didn't really get it. And so then when he went up a little, I mean, they called me tits on a stick. Because it was, they were.
That's amazing.
They were 32 double D. I'm telling you.
Whoa.
And so that.
And you're
like,
little.
Little. Yeah.
You're little. Yeah.
And so that, it was like, so then the attention that I got, right, when I had those, it was kind of like the same thing. It's like, well, obviously you are asking for this. And I'm like, but I'm not. Like, I don't. Even if you want big boobs, you can want big boobs and have big boobs and still not say that you're asking for that attention, right?
Like, it's just. Doesn't mean you're going to put out.
Right. It doesn't mean you owe anything. It doesn't mean, but there is that like very toxic and dangerous situation that many men, especially in like the early aughts, and would. Yeah. I'll send you a picture.
Oh my God, tits on a stick. I love that.
So big.
When did you decide to take them out?
I only had them for like 3 years, not even.
Okay.
And then the doctor was like, and now I lived in Chicago when I got them out. And he was like, well, mm-hmm. obviously you want something, just not that big. I was like, no, I don't want anything. He's like, are you serious? I was like, no, yeah, nothing. And they were great.
Nice.
Like I was worried, you know, that it was like it'd be all stretched out or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, like all this time, I didn't have to do that, you know? It was, yeah. And so now, and now, you know, I've nursed three babies for mm-hmm. 3 years total. And like, now I have a very different relationship with my breasts. And I love them. But yeah, that was, a wild ride. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever said, I have a very different relationship with my breasts on a podcast.
I love it.
You bring out in me.
I love it. But like also getting like coming home to yourself and that includes your body too.
Yes, totally. And just appreciating it. And yeah, that was I don't regret it because it was a learning experience, but
yeah,
it was wild. Yeah.
Now we know. Don't supersize them.
Now we know, guys. Be very be very clear on what you want.
And don't get a doctor who's retiring.
Don't get an oldie. Yeah, don't go to an oldie. Don't go to a no. Do your research.
Oh my God. I want to talk a little bit more about your sober mom retreats and what they look like. Yeah. Can you give us a rundown of what happens?
Yeah.
I mean, so obviously you travel like a bachelorette party. We got that.
Obviously there's a party bus and then we swarm into sober bars.
Yeah.
That was actually our first one. And so it's from the cafe. So the Sober Mom Life Cafe is our membership where we have like Zoom meetings all the time. And there was this drumbeat of the moms being like, no, but can we meet in real life? Like, can we give each other hugs? Can we meet? And we were like, okay, how are we going to do this? And so that was the first one where we just found this like giant house and we set up, we were like, how could we spoil these moms? Because most of them are moms and haven't been spoiled. They haven't, we had a private chef come in, sound bath, we had yoga, we had meditation. And then we also have, my mom's a therapist and she works with us. And so we had like personal development stuff where we talked about, we just talked about shame and how it, you know, influences us and how it kept us stuck. And then like at the end, we had a shame seance where we got to burn the shit. Mm. And like, we screamed at the top of our lungs, like fuck alcohol. And this whole time, and you know, we're like in the hot tub and there's a, you know, non-alcoholic beer and it's, and bracelet making. It's just like, it's like a luxury slumber party.
Oh and my God. That's amazing.
Right. And the luxury part is really, I think, what I wanted. And that's why we keep the numbers low. Right. So we do like 22 to 24. We're doing another one this fall in Asheville, North Carolina.
Nice.
And I know. I just Googled and I was like, best place in the US in the fall. And Asheville was number one. I was like, great.
Done.
Found a huge house, which is like stunning in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And it's just going to be that like luxury experience where you're going to have somebody cook for you. And like, you're going to have, like, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner and you don't have to worry about like cleaning. You don't have to worry about anything. You get to just personal development, relax, restore, and then connect. Like connect with women in sobriety who are just like you. And I think that with my journey, because I stopped drinking, you know, right at the start of the pandemic, I just always thought it was just me and I was alone and no one felt like me. And everyone had this like dance with alcohol figured out and I didn't know. And once I started talking about and connecting with women, like, oh, holy shit. Like you felt this way too. And you felt tricked and you felt like there was something wrong with you. There was nothing more healing. And so then just to like get this group of women together in real life and be like, oh, holy shit, you're real. I can hug you. Like I can, you know, and we have Zoom meetings all the time, but now we had like in-person meetings where we would literally, like, whoever was talking, if they started crying, we just, like, crawl over to them and, like, you know, like, lean on them. And, like, it was so lovely. And I think the biggest takeaway for me is that, like, these connections that most of us have that exist solely online at first translate. Like, they translate to real life. Like, this is real. And we always say, like, IRL, but, like, this is real life. Like, you and me. Like, I've met you now in real life. Yeah. And it was – we were already connected, right?
Totally.
Even though we hadn't met in real life. But it was – it's just this, like, force of, like, coming together. And seeing that happen and being able to provide a – like, a luxury spot where we could facilitate these connections is, like – it's one of my favorite things now. And we'll do it twice a year for, like, until the end of time.
Oh my God, I love that.
You have to
that
come.
That sounds so great. Right? I mean, even just, like, just not the cooking part. Like, having someone take that off your plate, literally, and the dishes.
I know. It's so funny because Courtney, who is in our group, who is there, as the chef was, like, clearing her plate, she was like, oh my God, this is, like, the best part. And the she's like, no, no, no. The food was great too. I loved the food. I loved the food that you slaved over. But, like, this part, you cleaning up, oh my God.
Like, not having to do any dishes or worry about, oh, I gotta go to the store.
Or, like, laundry. We're like, no, no, don't worry. Like, yes, all of that. And really to feel, like, pampered. And because we don't get that. And just to be able to say, like, no, I am taking, you know, it's Thursday through Sunday. The one in the fall is October 10th through the 13th. And it's like to be able to say to your husband or your partner to say, like, hey, like, October 10th through 13th, that's for me. Like, that's mine. Like, whatever you have to do, you could figure it out. You have enough time to figure it out, but that's time for me. And the price is, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the most inexpensive thing because it's, we try to keep it pretty elevated, the experience. But
it's a
we
treat.
Do.
It's a treat to yourself.
It's a, yeah, it's a treat. And then just think about, like, how much you've saved on alcohol. And then as soon as you think, like, it's less than that. It's less than the amount you will have saved on alcohol.
But it's also, it sounds like a vacation that you also don't need a vacation from.
Yes.
Because if you have kids, if you have, like, a partner, you know, a lot of the time we're kind of also micromanaging them and getting their stuff situated. So it's not like, it's like a working vacation when you go with these people.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Even like going, like, my husband and I just went on, like, for his work trip or whatever, but that's still, anytime you have to just, anytime there's someone else that you have to kind of care for, or take care of, even if you love it and you love them, it's still not, you can't just think 100% about yourself.
Yes.
And, like, we need that. We need that. Yeah.
Unplug, recharge. This sounds fantastic. So where, like, where would you categorize the ladies who join these retreats? Like, are they starting their sober journey? Are they already sober? What do you think we're looking at here?
We really had, like, pretty much all of it. So there were a few that, because in sober, curious women, it's very important for me to include them in everything I do because I don't think there's a lot of places for them to go. It's like, well, I'm still drinking, but I still want to talk about my relationship with alcohol. And so they're always welcome, like, into the cafe and the membership, everything. And so they can come on the retreat. There won't be alcohol, but it will be a great experience for them to see, like, oh, okay, I don't need alcohol to have fun. And so we had some who were just newly sober, maybe a couple of months, and then we had some who had years and but still had never been on a sober weekend with girls because generally it's a pretty special experience to be able to be with all sober women. Like, generally you're like, maybe you have one woman who's, like, deciding not to drink for the weekend, right? And then you're like, okay, good. But for, like, no one is drinking. The focus isn't going to be on drinking. You're not going to have to think about the fact that you're not drinking. And like, that's amazing.
So different.
Yes, it's so different. So we went out to eat dinner before we stormed Zanzibar. And like, not, you know, as a sober person, you know that when you go out to dinner and like everyone's drinking and you're not, like when the bill comes, it's like, okay. And I never said anything, but I'm like, you guys, like, mine is literally like an eighth of yours. But yeah, let's just all split it. That's great. But like, they're right? Like,
that's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
Like, but you like, there wasn't buy a bottle of wine. Just truly, to be at the table.
Like,
what?
I literally had like a salad and like a bite of something, and okay, $84. Got it. Yep, great. But there's none of that. We're just like, no, we're just not drinking. Like, and the coolest thing is that so much, like, we talk about everything, right? Just everything, obviously, like you and I do here. But like, we just didn't talk about alcohol. Like, my mom on the flight home.
Yeah.
Was like, isn't it amazing that like we didn't talk about alcohol? We didn't talk about like not drinking, because like that's no, like there's no room for alcohol. Like there's just no room for that. It's all about like what comes next and like building like this sober life. And like there's no room for talking about like, oh, well, I'm trying not to drink, because like, no. That's we got that.
You're
like,
just doing it.
Yeah, you're just doing it. And you're living it. Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's also amazing. Being in a group like that with a bunch of like-minded women, you're focusing on what you do want.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then so all the other things just kind of like fall.
Totally. Like
the fat just kind of trims itself almost.
Yes. Yeah. That's a huge shift. Yeah. And there's no like 0% like cattiness or like clicks or drama, like nothing. And you could walk up to like a group of four women who are talking and then just completely be welcomed in, right? And no, like there were no factions that like stayed together all the time. It was just constantly just like, because we know so much about each other through sharing our lives, right? And and our stories and our shame and all this stuff. So yeah, it's like, oh, I love it, it was so special.
That's so cool. And Suzanne, where can people find you on the world wide web?
Okay, so come to My Kind of Sweet. That is where I glamorize the shit out of sobriety and share all of the light and the bright stuff. And then the Sober Mom Life podcast is where I talk all about the stuff every week.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff.
Oh my God, I love you so much. This has been so fun. Thank you again for coming on and sharing your experience and knowledge with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
This conversation with Suzanne is a prime example of how important it is to have sober girlfriends. Our relationship translates both online and into offline, and it's so special and unique. If you're looking for sober girls or sober curious girls near you, head to asobergirlsguide.com. Check out our Sober Girls Social Club. It's a monthly membership where you can meet like-minded women who are changing their relationship with alcohol. From being sober curious to being full-time sober girls, you will find what you are looking for in the Sober Girls Social Club. Head to asobergirlsguide.com now. As always, thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, leave your feedback about the podcast. We love to hear your comments. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at A Sober Girls Guide, and head to asobergirlsguide.com. We got your back for any stage of your booze-free journey. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.